Welcome to the Heal Here podcast. I'm your host, Kate Flick, aka Oracle Lightworker. I'm a Holy Fire 3 Karuna Reiki Master Teacher and Akashic Records Reader. I also happen to be a Gemini, don't judge, a 5-1 emotional manifester and empowered empath. I am literally obsessed with helping you heal and showing you that you are your own best healer. Join me here where we will explore different techniques and modalities and where I will share personal experiences and channel guidance to help support you as you move along the spiritual and healing path. I am so glad you're here.
Oh, baby, baby. Oh, baby, baby. Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, 'cause I need to know now. Because my loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, I still believe. When I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Heal Here podcast. A little Britney Spears to start off this episode. And you know what? I honestly think this song has been done already for spiritual karaoke. You know me and my memory. But as I was singing it, I was like, I swear I've done this before, like one of the earlier episodes. And that has happened to me before, that it's coming to my mind and then I've had to go back through the episodes because I don't want to repeat. But today, I don't have time for that. And I feel like it came through for a reason. So we will just welcome Britney to the pod. And yeah, you'll have to let me know. For any OG listeners from the beginning, did this song come up before? Has this been a song for spiritual karaoke that I've covered before? Because I don't have the time right now to go back and check. So yeah, and this whole episode is not going to be about this song, although I feel like there are some messages in the lyrics. And if you are new here, Spirit gives me a song and I sing it at the beginning. And then usually there are messages for you and maybe for me too in the collective. But today I actually came here with a plan. I came here to talk about a specific topic, which is emotionally immature parents. And this is a topic that has come up so many times in my Akashic Records readings and Reiki healings. And I really thought that it was important that I talk about it today. And I feel like this is going to be a little series, a 3-part series, maybe 2 or 3-part series, where we talk about some of the characteristics of emotionally immature parents, the impacts, and yeah, how it affects their children and how it might be affecting you today, the adult children of emotionally immature parents. So we will be diving into this topic over the next few episodes, I think. That's what I feel like is going to happen, but sometimes Spirit has other plans. So before we get into this week's episode, how are you doing? How are you managing post-eclipse? I guess, as I mentioned last week, the eclipse season doesn't officially end, I don't think, until April 23rd. We're in the middle of Mercury retrograde as well, right? Astrology friends, hit me up, let me know. I'm pretty sure we are. So there's like a whole freaking gong show of energetic crap going on right now. So if you are feeling ungrounded, if you feel like things are just overwhelming, unpredictable, you are not alone, my friend. You are not alone. And it's interesting, I was reflecting on a message in one of my last podcast episodes, probably maybe a couple episodes ago, where Spirit was telling me that people are going to feel like the rug was pulled out from beneath them. And I know somebody DM'd me, a listener DM'd me and said, yeah, that's so accurate. Like that was really resonated with me. And it's funny because that's how I felt in my life. Like the rug has literally been pulled out from beneath me. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, just didn't see a lot of these things coming. So if you are feeling that way, again, I like to emphasize you are not alone. This is a collective thing. Like we are seeing it in our personal lives, but it's in our external worlds as well. Like there's just this feeling of unpredictability, instability. And I talked about this last week through the song, Thank You Blink 182, The Small Things. And I reiterated that on a reel this week on Instagram, but we really do need to anchor into the small things. And I know personally that's been making a real difference in my life, is taking time for these small things that I just feel like I don't have time for. Like things are crazy. I don't have time to pull that card or to do the breath work or, you know, do Reiki. I don't have time for that. Like the energy feels frenetic sometimes and overwhelming, but this is why we have these tools. Like it's important to anchor into them more like now than ever. And I don't know if it's just me that's guilty of this, but I have all these tools and I use them. But then sometimes when things get really crazy, when you would think, okay, this is when you're really going to anchor into these things, you know, really be diligent about breathwork and Reiki and meditation and, you know, the self-care, that's when it falls away. That's when I'm like, I don't have time for this. And it's just like, what are you doing? My husband often reminds me, he's like, are you using your tools? Because it's like, I throw my tools out the window, it seems, when things are really difficult in times of crisis. And that's when we need to be using the tools more than ever. I mean, it's pretty logical, so I don't know why I do this. And maybe you do this too. Let me know if you're the same. But it's like, I just don't have time. I don't have time. But we need to make time. So this is your reminder, the importance of really getting those small things in, the small things that make you feel happy, that bring joy into your life, that make you feel supported and nurtured and comforted. Like you have time for those things. You need to make time for those things because it is going to shift your energy and it's going to help and support you. So this is your reminder, and it's a reminder for myself as well. And it's interesting, Brittany is creeping into my awareness here and just thinking of the lyrics, like, oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, because I need to know now. Oh, because my loneliness is killing me. I must confess, I still believe. When I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time. So what's coming through for me is somebody needs to hear this. It might not be you, or maybe it's going to be you in a few weeks. I do not know, but somebody needs to hear this right now. What I'm hearing, the words codependency, hearing the words unhealthy relationship, red flag. And this person is like, oh, baby, oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? And I'm feeling like in somebody's relationship, you know, it's one-sided. One person is giving more. And it's like, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? The other person isn't giving you anything. They aren't communicating with you directly. They haven't told you what's going on. Like I'm sensing a lack of emotional availability on one side of this relationship. And it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. It could be any type of relationship, family, friend, relationship. And then it's like, oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight and the loneliness is killing me. And it's like, I'm seeing that, I don't know, I'm seeing a couple of different things. So I'll play out these scenarios. In one scenario, I'm seeing that like this emotionally unavailable person is ghosting the other person who's putting everything into the relationship. And that person's blaming themselves and saying, like, I shouldn't have let you go. Like, I could have done more. Like, almost taking fault and blaming themselves for the dissolution of the relationship. And it's like, now you're at a site and, you know, like, my loneliness is killing, like, this person is struggling and is suffering. And, you know, they say, I must confess, I still believe, you know, and they're still holding out hope for the relationship. Okay, that it can be fixed, it can be mended. And what I'm hearing is that if you get back into this relationship, that it's going to just be a repeating pattern. It's the same thing. Like, this person isn't emotionally available to you. They're not capable. And you are, like, this person seems like they're the fixer. They've always carried the emotional weight of this relationship. And they don't even realize they've been doing it because they've been conditioned from childhood. And this ties into adult children of emotionally immature parents. Ding, ding, ding. Now I know why Brittany's coming in today. That you perhaps had to do the emotional labor in your relationships with your parents. Okay. Like, you perhaps had to be the one to shoulder a lot of things that kids didn't, you know, shouldn't have had to shoulder. Maybe you parentified your parents, meaning you had to be an emotional support system for one or both of your parents. And so now in your adult life, that pattern is showing up. Like, you feel like you're responsible. I shouldn't have let you go. I shouldn't have whatever. And it's like, no, maybe you set a boundary. Okay. Or maybe you didn't even set a boundary. Maybe this person just ghosted you. I don't know, but you are now feeling like you're to blame for the dissolution of this relationship. And what I'm hearing is you're not to blame. Okay, if you did set a boundary, hold your boundary. It's going to be tempting to go back to this person, but stay strong. Okay, like, you did the right thing and it's time for you to continue to do things like this. This is a process of you learning to set boundaries and stand up for yourself. And that's going to make you feel very shameful and guilty because you have been conditioned to put everybody's needs ahead of your own. And that your value was reliant on your ability to show up for people and carry their emotional burdens and carry the relationship. And so what I'm hearing right now is that it's time to let that go. Okay, you are a new person. Like, post-eclipse here, like, that solar eclipse brought in a lot of energy. Like, you are a new person. Even if you want to go back to this relationship, like, it's not, you've changed too much. It's not in alignment anymore. So, and even though you must confess, you still believe. And when you're not with them, you feel like you're losing your mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time. I'm hitting up y'all right now. This is your sign. If you were looking for a sign, this is neon, baby. This is neon. Looking at these lyrics, boy, you got me blinded. The reason I breathe is you. There's nothing that I wouldn't do. It's not the way I planned it. Of course it's not the way. Like, that's another message that's coming through, is people trying to control situations and micromanage. And I'm hearing for some people, you're like, you're a people pleaser, you're a fixer, but it's also a form of control. And you might not want to see that in yourself. Okay, that's a shadow coming to the surface, but this eclipse season's bringing this shadows to the surface, y'all. And yeah, that there's an element of control in what you're doing. You felt very unstable in your childhood. You're grasping for ways you can control and control people's perceptions of you, control relationships, maybe control whether people stayed or left you. And like, you being the fixer, you being the one putting in all the emotional labor is actually a form of control, even if you aren't willing to see it. So yeah, just hearing the word codependency. This is for real. This is a real issue. And that's something that's going to be probably coming up today when we're talking about emotionally immature parents. Okay, I don't want to jump too far ahead before I introduce the topic, but Brittany, is there anything else that we need to say here? I think that that's why our friend Britt decided to pop in for a visit today. Somebody needed to hear that. Let me know if that person was you. I always like to know if messages resonate with people. If you're going through this, stay strong, hold your boundaries, and anchor into self-care. Really anchor into self-care And if this doesn't resonate with you, put it in your back pocket. Okay. It might make more sense later. Okay. So today's topic is emotionally immature parents, and more specifically, adult children of emotionally immature parents. And as I mentioned, this is something that comes up in the Akashic Records often in my session. It is a common theme that many people have no idea, like a lot of people are unaware of. And it's a topic that society hasn't really talked about. I feel like it's a bit taboo, okay? Like most of us have been conditioned to respect our parents, never speak, you know, ill of our parents. And so many people don't want to talk about this for fear of disrespecting the people who brought them into the world and cared for them. And as well, a lot of people don't even realize that they were raised by emotionally immature parents. So I think it's really important to bring this topic into the open and to just bring awareness, because many of us feel like we had really perfect childhoods. Okay. A lot of people seem to put their parents on pedestals and, you know, I had the best mom, the best dad. And that's wonderful. But some of these people are wondering why they're having issues as an adult in their relationships, at their job, like in their marriage, with their children, why they're feeling stuck right now, why they feel like there's this hole inside of them that cannot be filled, why they may be struggling with addictions. There's a whole plethora of things like that could be stemming from being a child of emotionally immature parents. And many people are not realizing that this is the cause because there's not been a lot of education around it. There's not been a lot of awareness. So I hope this episode or episodes moving forward can bring some awareness around this topic and can start the road to healing for some people. Many people believe that if they didn't suffer overt emotional or physical abuse as a child, then there's nothing to recover from, like their childhood was perfect, that there's nothing that could have happened during their childhood that could be creating issues today in their adult lives. And a lot of people are really reluctant to look back to their childhood and to be curious. And I think that that's important to be open to seeing the truth. And the truth can be very painful for a lot of people. And a lot of people don't want to see the truth. And so that's fine. If you're not ready to kind of dive into your childhood and be curious and investigate a little bit, that's okay. And you might not want to listen to the rest of this episode. It may not resonate today, and that's fine. But it's important to be open and curious and this is not about pointing fingers. This is not about blaming our parents. It's just about becoming aware of our childhoods, how they have shaped us, how our conditioning has shaped us, and how the emotional availability of our parents has shaped us and their emotional maturity. And as I mentioned, this is a theme that just pops up over and over again in my readings. And I always kind of feel hesitation to tell people because I know so many people feel like they did have the perfect childhood and, you know, they're very close with their parents today and that's wonderful. But there's like a resistance for some people that they don't, you know, again, as I said, they're not ready to hear the truth. Because sometimes the truth can be very painful. So again, you may want to listen to this episode, you may not want to, but today we're just going to be talking about what an emotionally immature parent kind of looks like, what are some of the characteristics. Okay, we're not going to go into, we'll be talking more about maybe the impacts in a different episode. But today we're just going to start out with, you know, giving a little background information on what an emotionally immature parent is. And the book that I often recommend to my clients is Lindsay C. Gibson's book, Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents, How to Heal from Distant, Rejecting, or Self-Involved Parents. This book is a game changer. It's a game changer for a lot of people, and I just highly recommend this book. I'm a big fan of her work. And if this podcast episode resonates with you today, you'll probably want to check out this book. I'm going to be referring to information from this book. I can link it, if I remember, in the show notes. Look in the show notes. Hopefully it will be linked there when you look. But this is groundbreaking work on this topic, and I am a big fan. So oftentimes when we look at adults and parents, we just naturally assume that they are more mature, okay, than their children, that they're adults, they've emotionally matured. And it's interesting, like after you start to do some research in this area, if you read this book, and become more aware of, you know, how emotional immaturity manifests, how it presents in a person, you start to notice how many emotionally immature people are walking around, how many wounded children are walking around in adult bodies. And you may also start to recognize some characteristics in yourself. When I started to do this work, when I started to study this topic, I started to see how I could become, how I was acting emotionally immature at times, okay, in my parenting, for example. And when you recognize yourself in an emotionally immature moment, it is really, what's the word? I don't know if it's humbling. It's sad. I don't even know what the word would be. It's not a nice recognition. I will just say that. But I felt guilt and shame when I've recognized that I was being emotionally immature. But she talks about what makes me feel a bit better is that she differentiates between a personality pattern versus a temporary emotional regression. And she says that there's a difference, like between these two things. Many emotionally immature parents have the personality pattern. Like it's become their personality. That is how they consistently show up. And she says that anyone can, you know, lose that emotional control or become impulsive when they're tired or stressed, and they can be reactive in a situation and they can act emotionally in an emotionally immature way. And when that happens to me, I reflect and, you know, if I've reacted to my children, for example, you know, I've gone back and apologized and acknowledged like I was being very emotionally immature in that situation. I felt triggered because of this. And a lot of times I'm triggered because of something that happened in my childhood and they're presenting it to me in my face or, you know, or showing me a side of me I don't wish to see. And so I think it's really important to be able to go back and have those conversations and apologize, because I feel like a lot of people my age probably didn't have parents who had the emotional capacity to apologize. And that's, you know, part and parcel. Why am I saying the word part and parcel? Where did that expression come from? Part and parcel? How, like, am I going back to that generation? Is that a boomer part and parcel expression? No offense to boomers. I'm an elder millennial, but like I'm Gen X, right on the edge of Gen X and millennial. And is that an zennial? Like, how do you even pronounce that with an X? Okay. I digress. But why was I saying part and parcel? I don't even think part and parcel applied, but what I was trying to say is that if you were my age in your 40s or maybe even younger, you may, you know, your parents grew up in a time where their parents were probably not emotionally available to them. Okay. And parenting has changed so much over the years. And how our parents were parented obviously affects how we were parented. So while it's not an excuse, every person is responsible for their own healing. It does give us some context. It does give us some insight into why our parents may be emotionally unavailable or emotionally immature. So Lindsay Gibson talks about that personality pattern versus the temporary emotional regression. And in saying that when a person has the personality pattern of emotional immaturity, these behaviors show up repeatedly. It's not just like, oh, I had a bad day and I kind of yelled at my kids or acted immaturely. This has almost become this person's unconscious behavior, and it's become a pattern. And many emotionally immature people don't step back. Okay. They don't have that reflection piece where they can separate themselves from what's happening and like have that, you know, take that time to reflect and see how their reactions are affecting others. And they don't feel guilt or shame that you may feel after you have an emotionally immature episode. And so they seldom apologize or feel any regret because they feel like what they are doing is correct. So as I mentioned before, if you grew up in a family with emotionally immature parents, you may have no idea, okay? Because your parents could have taken wonderful care of your physical needs. They could have, you know, cooked you family meals and gone to all your sports games and showed up physically, but they weren't emotionally available to you, okay? And you probably couldn't, well, I'd say most definitely couldn't put your finger on what was missing, okay? You weren't able to identify that something was wrong, but you could feel it, okay? There's a loneliness that children feel when their parents are emotionally immature. And this emotional loneliness is hard to put into words, and oftentimes people don't even realize what they're experiencing is emotional loneliness. They just know that feels like there's something missing, something is wrong, and they may feel empty and very alone. And this loneliness tends to follow these children into adulthood and has great impacts on their life and their relationships. Oftentimes, parents who are emotionally immature are so preoccupied with themselves and what's going on in their lives that they don't take the time to notice their child's or their children's inner experiences. Okay, they are not aware. They are not attuned. They're like there's a lack of attunement between child and parent, and their child could be suffering and going through a hard time. And while their parent is like physically present, they are emotionally nowhere to be found. And again, that creates that feeling of loneliness and that there's a lack of emotional support. And most children, I'd say all children, are not able to identify that. It's not something that's identifiable. As I mentioned before, you could have had a wonderful upbringing, gone on family trips. You know, again, your parents are there, they're at the parent-teacher interviews, they're at your sporting events, they're physically there all the time, and you don't understand why you feel this way. And there is also that idea that you should put your parents up on a pedestal, so it would be disrespectful to even consider that the way you were parented could be having a profound impact on you. Like, there's like a loyalty piece to it that many people, you feel very disloyal even questioning this topic. And I feel like there are people listening today that this may be a bit triggering, like maybe not. Maybe there's just a hesitancy there, like, oh, this episode isn't for me. My parents are perfect. Like, I thought I grew up in a perfect, I thought that my childhood was perfect. So I would have probably been resistant to hearing this a number of years ago. So if you're resistant to hearing it, and it makes you feel uncomfortable, that may also be a sign. So just listen with open-mindedness, or turn this off and come back to it maybe another time if you feel called. And again, it may not apply to everyone. So just take what resonates and leave the rest behind. So emotionally immature parents struggle with emotional intimacy. Okay, like having true intimacy is sharing your thoughts and feelings, connecting with somebody on a deep level. And oftentimes emotionally immature parents are not capable of that. They're not emotionally available. They can't handle your feelings and emotions. Okay, it's too much for them because no one was there when they had emotions and feelings. Like no one was there for them. No one modeled maybe intimacy for them when they were growing up. So they are not able to be there for you and create intimacy in your relationship. Emotionally mature parents are emotionally available to you. Like if you're going through a hard time, like you know that you can go to your parent for support. They're going to be there for you. And oftentimes, emotionally immature parents don't want to, like they just can't handle your emotions. So maybe you've gone to them in the past and, you know, talked about something and they've either dismissed what you're saying, they could have walked out on a conversation, like they are not capable of handling it. Or maybe they've handed off the conversation to another parent because they just can't deal with it. And there's no, you know, I feel like what's coming through right now is like, even with men have almost been encouraged to be emotionally available. It's like, oh, this is a talk to have with your mother, like anything to do with emotions, like, oh, this isn't for me. And it's like almost men have been conditioned to believe that that's not their place to be a part of these conversations. And that is such a disservice to men because we need strong fathers who are emotionally available. And I mean, I could do a whole episode on how I feel like society has failed our men. But yeah, this isn't a female male thing. Like everybody benefits when males and females are emotionally available, both parents. It's not the job of one gender or you know, one person within a family, okay, to build a healthy family. Everyone in the family needs to be emotionally available and emotionally attuned. So if you grew up with a parent or parents who didn't know how to handle your emotions, who maybe punished you when you had big emotions instead of comforting you, or perhaps they couldn't give you the emotional support or availability that you needed, you would have felt that. You would have felt that deep within, but you wouldn't have known what it was, what was wrong, what was missing. But you would have felt that. And, you know, it would have resulted in an emotional loneliness that, as I said before, probably couldn't have been really put into words. And what often results when children feel emotional loneliness is that they don't feel secure in their childhoods. They don't feel free and able to be a kid, to be a kid, to play, like to experience childhood. They oftentimes want to leave childhood behind. A lot of them grow up quickly. They become quote unquote mature themselves and strive to be self-sufficient. And that's where you know, that's where the parentification comes in, where we see a child taking care of their parents, whether physically or emotionally. And a lot of times emotionally, and people don't even realize it, like the whole idea of your child becomes, when people, I don't know, posting everywhere that their child is their best friend, I don't know, it kind of like just makes me feel uncomfortable. Like this is my best friend, because I always worry, and you know, maybe it's fine in some of these cases, but when I see people on Instagram posting about this, like this is my BFF, my best friend, it's like, what is this child shouldering for the adult? Like, is this child the therapist? Is this child, you know, so overly concerned about their parents' well-being? And, you know, I've seen other influencers like posting like their children, like they're posting it. It's like, look at this child taking care of mama. She knows I've had a hard day. And like the child is like making them food, taking it to them, taking care of them, like putting their feet up on a, I don't know, like up on the couch and like rubbing their feet, like all these things. And it's like, in the comments, they're being lauded. Why am I using these weird words? Lauded for raising such an amazing child. And I don't know, I just see these things and it just stresses me out a bit because I see it through a different lens. I see it through the parentification lens. And like, is this child, like, why is this child doing this? Okay. You know, a healthy child is out playing with their friends and, you know, kids that age are supposed to be egocentric. The world does revolve around them. That's normal developmentally. It is not normal developmentally for the world to revolve around the parents' needs and being hyper aware of their parents' moods and their needs so that they can cater to them. And again, this could be triggering to some people. And my apologies. Sorry, not sorry. But yeah, when I see these things on Instagram, like I can't deal with this right now. I can't look at this the way that other people are looking at this. I'm looking it through a different lens. So if you were a child who was the fixer or who was taking care of people in your childhood, there's a good chance that your parents are emotionally immature, and there's a good chance that you're repeating that cycle right now. Okay, in your relationships, if you are open enough and curious enough to look at your relationships today, you may realize that you have gravitated to situations and relationships that feel comfortable or safe to you, like that felt safe to you in childhood. Okay, and that comes back to that control piece I was saying before. You felt like you could control things by maybe taking care of your parents. You could manage their moods. Okay, and so if you're doing this sort of thing in your adult relationships, you're fixing, you're taking care of people, you're managing, like that's control as well. You're hoping to manage their moods and maybe hoping that they won't abandon you, because what's coming through is in childhood, again, some of these behaviors around, you know, the child who is taking care of their parents, the parentification is to prevent abandonment. Okay, that is the biggest threat to a child in childhood is being abandoned by their parents, whether emotionally or physically. And that's the thing. People do not realize the impacts of emotional abandonment. Like if a parent gives you the silent treatment, if you don't show up how they expect you to show up, like that is devastating. And this is why it's coming through for me, is that this is a silent epidemic. Okay. People aren't talking about this. And if you do talk about it, there are a lot of people who this is going to trigger. You know, if you set boundaries with your parents, it's like, you're a terrible person. Like, how could you disrespect the people who they took care of you your whole life and you had a great childhood? And it's like, okay, yeah, there were some great things about, you know, they did take care of my needs. But guess what? A parent's job, like when you have a child, by law, you are required to take care of this child and keep them alive. Okay. Like, you know, you're required to feed them and take care of them. And so that's your job. That's not something that you're doing for this child that they owe you. They don't owe you, okay? You don't owe your parent. If you're an adult child of an emotionally immature parent, so you don't owe your parents anything right now for keeping you alive and feeding you. If they didn't feed you and take care of your custodial needs, then they'd be put in jail, okay, if that was found out. So you don't owe someone for, you know, following through on the obligation of actually having a child. That's part of the contract. They had to do that. Okay. So there's a lot of, there's so much talk of, you know, people, and it's usually people who feel triggered themselves because they're emotionally immature. And when they see somebody set a boundary with a parent, that triggers the hell out of them, because it triggers them, because holy shit, that means somebody could set, you know, somebody maybe in their family could set a boundary with them. So anyhow, I digress. But you may notice as an adult child of emotionally immature parents that some of your relationships today are built on you doing that emotional labor. And I guess that's why that song from Britney Spears came through today. Okay, like, and oh, now I'm getting it. My loneliness is killing me. Okay. And what I'm hearing is, yes, this emotional loneliness is killing you, right? It's got to the point with all these solar eclipse and the light codes coming down. Like, there's so much light and energy coming down to shift us right now. Okay. It's peeling away the layers. So people are starting to see the truth about themselves. Okay. The truth about maybe their childhoods, the truth about relationships they're in now. And so that's painful. It's coming to the surface, and maybe that's why I'm called to talk about this. This topic just popped into my head. Okay, this is something I've been talking about for years, like with clients and, you know, researching for my own personal interest for years. And I've never felt called to talk about this on the podcast. And it just popped into my head. Like, okay, we need to do a little series on this. So people must need to hear about this today. Okay, I just went off the rails there for a little bit, where I'm trying to think about where I should go next with this. I want to keep this short. Let's just for today talk about maybe some of the, like, there's so much we could talk about, but I'm going to go and look in the book here at what Lindsay Gibson says are some of the, where is it? She has something in here about, yeah, recognizing the emotionally immature parent. So, and she has a little checklist. Sorry, I'll find this. There's an assessment in the book. So again, highly, highly recommend this book, but I'm just going to quickly go through the checklist because it might resonate with you. So here are the statements. Okay. My parent often overreacted to relatively minor things. Like, think back to your childhood. My parent didn't express much empathy or emotional awareness. When it came to emotional closeness and feelings, my parent seemed uncomfortable and didn't go there. My parent was often irritated by individual differences or different points of view. Okay, like with emotionally immature parents, you often see like this black or white thinking, and like they can't handle a difference of opinion. Like, that is going, like, you may have found yourself having to, conform to their ideas and perspectives and their opinions because you would have been accepted. You might have been black sheeped. Did I just make that a verb? You might have been black sheep. We'll talk about the black sheep next week. Gotta love the black sheep. All the love going out to all the black sheepers out there. Sending you love, my precious little cycle breaker. I love you. Okay. My parent, did I already say this? Yes, I did. Okay. When I was growing up, my parent used me as a confidant, but wasn't a confidant for me. And that kind of falls under the parentification umbrella. My parent often said and did things without thinking about people's feelings. I didn't get much attention or sympathy from my parent except for when I was sick. And I might add in, like, or when you were achieving, like if you were somebody who had to get the highest marks in school or be the best in sports, okay? Like, maybe that's when you got, because oftentimes emotionally immature parents like thrive off that attention because that brings attention to them. So it could have been when you were sick or when you were achieving. And that's why so many adult children of emotionally immature parents are perfectionists, are very successful in some ways, but very unfulfilled, very unhappy. My parent was inconsistent, sometimes wise, sometimes unreasonable. If I became upset, my parent either said something superficial and unhelpful or got angry and sarcastic. Sarcasm is a big thing. Like, there's a lot of emotionally immature parents who use sarcasm, okay, because they can't handle emotional availability or anything with that's below the surface. They just use pure sarcasm. Conversations mostly centered on my parents' interests. So if your parents just, you know, it was all about what they liked, what they were into, they just weren't even really aware of, like, okay, there's other people here, you know, maybe they dominate conversations about what they want to talk about. That could be a red flag. Even polite disagreement could make my parent very defensive. It was deflating to tell my parent about my successes because it didn't seem to matter. Okay. So maybe you, and I feel like it could be too, like, cause I mentioned before, I feel like in some families, the successes, like either you were pushed to achieve at a certain level. And maybe if they received kind of praise and accolades, like, oh, you did such a great job raising them, like that would be good. But then maybe what's coming through is like some, why they're showing me this, some parent online posting like all their child's accolades on Facebook all the time. And it's like, you know, seems like such a proud parent. And it's like, they're doing that to get the, like the supply, or the attention for themselves. Like that's giving them energetic supply. But like behind, this is what they're just showing me right now. And behind closed doors, this parent is like not giving the child like any praise. Like it's just kind of all online, like it's a facade, and like a very different story behind closed doors. Facts and logic were no match for my parents' opinions. Okay, my parent wasn't self-reflective. I think this is a big one, and rarely looked at his or her role in a problem. My parent, like a lot of times these emotionally, just as an aside, these emotionally immature parents can't take responsibility. Okay, they're very much on the, you know, I'm the parent, like my way or the highway. Like it's not, things maybe aren't open for discussion is what's coming through. And, you know, yeah, again, that self-reflection piece is just very much missing. My parent tended to be a black and white thinker, okay, and unreceptive to new ideas, okay? It's like, this is my opinion is right, and it's like black or white, like my way or the highway. So before I close this episode, I'm just looking at this book. I'm like, I kind of want to talk about this. Personality traits associated with emotional immaturity, okay? So they tend to have a different kind of set of emotional, behavioral, mental characteristics. And I will kind of quickly go through them. So, and they kind of coincide with this checklist, I think. So they're rigid and single-minded. Okay. Again, all about, you know, they see things as black or white, and usually they feel like they're always right. Okay. They have a low stress tolerance. So most emotionally immature people don't deal with stress well, and they're often very reactive, okay, and they will blow up on you, and they can't regulate their emotions. And you'll find a lot with emotionally immature parents that they will expect others to then comfort them, okay, or they may go to alcohol or drugs as a way to manage their low stress tolerance, okay, to kind of help numb them. They do what feels best. So with this one, it's a lot about reacting in the moment. Okay. They don't tend to take time to reflect, as I mentioned before. And a lot of times, like children, they just either blurt things out or react in the moment. And again, like, as I talk about these things, you may recognize yourself in some of these things, and that's, you know, that is okay. Like, don't feel shame or guilt. Like, we can all have moments of emotional immaturity. And I think I mentioned this on a podcast before, like something that I find brings out my emotional immaturity is sports, like sports, my children's sports. Like, I can find myself reacting sometimes in an emotionally immature way. And it sucks. Like, it sucks to, you know, feel that. Like, I sometimes have caught myself being like, I'm a small child. And I have to like take a step back and reflect. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, get me out of these sports. But I've realized that sports are such a teacher for me, and they show me the parts of myself that I need to heal and I need to work on. So if you see parts of yourself in some of these descriptions, it's an opportunity to learn more about yourself and to wonder and be curious about why you may be reacting this way sometimes. And it's opening the door for more healing. Okay. So that's always a good thing. So another characteristic is that emotionally immature people are subjective, not objective. So they assist situations in a subjective way. Okay. Not objectively. And what this means is that when they're in a situation, what feels true to them is more important than what is true. And that's where they don't really care about the facts that are being presented to them, okay, or logic, okay? If it feels true to them, then your concerns are going to not be heard, okay, because it feels true to them. Emotionally immature people have little respect for differences. Okay, so we've already talked about that in the checklist, and they don't tend to be very open-minded. And it would make them very uncomfortable to be in a relationship with someone who has different beliefs than them. So another characteristic is that they're egocentric. Okay, so we talked about before how it's normal for children to be egocentric, and that's a kind of a characteristic of being a child, thinking the world revolves around you. But these emotionally immature parents or adults haven't evolved, okay, with regards to maturity. So a lot of them think that the world revolves around them. And oftentimes they're not considering, you know, how they're affecting other people or what other people are going through. And that's also tied into that low empathy. Okay, they're often self-preoccupied and self-involved. Okay, and that goes hand in hand with what we were talking about with the egocentrism. These emotionally immature people cannot handle being criticized. They often don't take feedback well. Okay, and that just, it feels like an injury to them when people criticize them. The next characteristic is they are self-referential, not self-reflective. And so an example of this is that somebody who's self-referential will turn whatever you say back to one of their own experiences. And it's not to say, like, you know, sometimes you're having a conversation with someone and they share something, and sometimes people share to let them know that they're not alone. Okay. Apparently that's an ADHD thing, to try to make you, the person, feel like you're not, they're not alone, and like you understand them, and it's a way for connection. But with a self-referential person, like there's no regard, they're using what you're going through as a springboard to talk about themselves. And they don't, like, there's no coming back. You know, if you were doing it from a place of empathy, you might tell them, I've gone through this too, and then bring it, the conversation back, like the focus back to them. Okay. After maybe sharing that. And I mean, people have different ideas around whether you should share a personal experience to somebody who shared a personal experience with you as a form of connection. Some people like it, some people don't. Anyway, just putting that out there. But oftentimes emotionally immature people will cut you off and then just turn the whole conversation to them, and they won't come back to you. They'll just use it as something, as a way to talk about them, okay? And some parents will even do this with their kids. Like if their kid succeeds or achieves something, they'll use it to talk about their achievements and what, you know, what they've achieved in their life. Like it has to always, like the focus always has to come back to them. And that that segues to the next characteristic, is that they like to be the center of attention. Okay. So when they're in a group setting, the immature socially, or sorry, emotionally immature person often dominates the group's time and energy. Okay. And there are different ways that some people do it more subtly and some people do it more in a more obvious way, but it's like, you know, and some parents can do it by playing the victim, that it's like, oh, poor this person, like, oh, and it's like they do it in such a way that they have become this victim, and the focus is always on them, and people are just feeling bad for them. Okay. There's also the people who are more overtly emotionally immature, who make it very obvious that they're trying to get people's attention, and you know, they want the attention on them. But be aware that some people can do it in a more covert way, and it's still, you know, it's a manipulation of people's attention and focus on them, and they do it in a way where they kind of show up as the victim. So the next characteristic is they promote role reversal. And that just ties into what I talked about with parentification before. So they expect their child to be kind of their therapist or their confidant. They may discuss marital problems with their children, or, you know, things that are happening at work, like their struggles and stresses, like adult struggles, adult stresses, maybe financial struggles, like, you should not be burdening your child with your financial struggles, okay? That's a role reversal. You're there to support them. They're not there to tell you it's going to be okay and take on that burden for you. And the last characteristic in this book is they have low empathy and are emotionally insensitive. So we talked about this before, okay? They just can't see outside of themselves. Everything is so focused on their experience, what they're going through. They don't self-reflect. They just don't, they're not focused on the needs of others. They're very self-focused. And so they don't have that empathy when somebody else is going through something. They're not able to support you because they're lacking empathy. Okay, so again, why do I say this every episode? I literally was expecting to do a 25-minute episode just as a introduction to this series, but here we are, almost at an hour. So I'm going to shut this one down for today. If this is a topic that you're interested in, please let me know. Download. I'm going to look at the downloads to see if this is resonating with people. And if this is a topic you want to hear more about, you want me to discuss more on this podcast, because I think it is so important, okay, this topic, and recognizing the impacts of, you know, being the child of an emotionally immature parent. And it's something we need to talk about. You know, it's been kind of taboo, and I think we're just ripping off the, I don't know what we're ripping off today. We are, I don't know, this eclipse is just pulling off the Band-Aid, people. We're pulling the rug off. I don't know what we're saying. I think I need to go now. But thank you for listening. And as a reminder, again, I have a Reiki level 1 and 2 coming up, and that training, if you are somebody who's recognizing that you have been parented by emotionally immature parents, and you know, you're an adult child of emotionally immature parents, you probably are lacking support. Okay. You probably have a lot of healing to do. And I can tell you from experience that this Reiki level 1 and 2 training can be the beginning of that healing for you. Okay. The experiences, the placements are so profoundly healing. And you will leave this course with a gift that you can use it as a tool on yourself to promote self-healing and doing self-Reiki, but you can also support others. Like, you will be certified as a level 2 practitioner after this course. And what an amazing gift for yourself and to share with others. So if Reiki has been calling to you, I would love to be your guide. And this hybrid model, you can start learning today. You can sign up below and literally start learning today. And then we'll meet live May 6th and May 13th. So would love to have you in class. If you have any questions about Reiki training, I have more trainings that are supposed, should have been released by now. But as I said, the rug beneath me has been pulleth off it. I can't talk. You know what I'm trying to say here. So yeah, things have been a bit delayed, but they will be coming soon. Things are coming into balance. So I hope things are coming into balance for you as well, and sending you lots of love if you're going through it. Remember to take care of yourself, and I will see you here next week. Same place, same-ish time. Bye.